All right, take your Bibles and turn to two places, James chapter 3 and Proverbs 18. James 3, Proverbs 18. All right, we're going to start in Proverbs, and then we'll go to James 3 after we pray. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God and its truth. It is truth. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to preach and share some things with the people tonight. I'm sure they're well aware of. And Lord, sometimes we need to go back to the basics. And I just pray that you'd help us tonight, maybe speak to someone's heart. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. Your name be praised. Amen. All right. I read that verse a couple weeks ago. And I just thought about that first phrase, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's quite a statement. That's a powerful statement. And it made me think, it brought some things to my mind in my own life that I'm going to share with you tonight. And I hope it helps you think about these things a little more. How powerful the things that we say on a regular basis, things we talk about, things we say at work, things we say in passing, maybe during our playtime, maybe even with our family at home. And how powerful those things are. And how some of the things we say could be taken out of context. Some of the things we say could change someone's life. Maybe change the life into death. And That's a pretty powerful thing when you think about it. Am I on now? Did I get it right? All right, we're good to go. So James chapter 3, of course, a familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to look at verses 2 through 5 here real quick. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So if you have never offended anybody, you're perfect. You're good. Brother Steve, I'm sorry. I've seen you on the street, how you offend people. No. It's pretty, you're perfect. But I'm sure we've all said some things we've regretted. And I wish we had those times back and those things back and those opportunities back. But verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about by a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So I read that, and right away, I'm sure maybe Aaron thought about this too, but I thought about the ship I was on in the Navy. I was on a battleship. Battleship was about almost a thousand feet long. Weighed fully loaded with ammunition and fully loaded with a crew and all that. It weighed 58,000 tons. And this thing sailed along doing 33 knots. I'm sure yours went a lot faster than ours did. But this was top speed. I mean, everything was rattling. Things were falling off shelves. It was an old ship. And 58,000 tons. And I looked up, we have this thing where you qualify for, and you go through all the trainings in every division on your ship, and you get a pin. It's called Enlisted Surface Warfare Specialist, where you know everything there is to know about the ship and how it runs and all these things. And one of them was you had to learn how the how to drive the thing, how to drive the ship. And I went in there one day to just to get it signed off. I wasn't expecting anything, and we were in some pretty heavy seas. We're in the North Atlantic, and we had 18-foot swells. And that this big ship, there was waves coming over the front of it, and nobody was allowed on the deck. And they said, okay, you want to steer this thing? And I'm like, okay. And the guy said, you're not going anywhere, are you? You going to help me out with this? And he said, sure. So the steering wheel, the helm for this ship is only about 4 feet, maybe 3.5, 4 feet in diameter. And they say, okay, come 1 degree starboard. So he's turned this wheel, this 3 foot wheel, and it turns a rudder that's about 50 tons. And that little rudder, little compared to the size of the ship, and that helm steers that whole ship. So as soon as you start turning it, it starts turning. That's just unbelievable. 58,000 tons at the mercy of the little wheel, the helm, that steers that whole ship. And the Bible takes our tongue, this little thing, in some cases, and this thing, he says, this thing steers our whole body. It steers everything we do. And I read that verse, and it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's something else. What lies within us on a daily basis that we share with everybody around us? We share life and death with people in what we say and how we say it. It's not so much how we do it, it's what comes out of our mouth. What actually can we say? What can be affected by what we say? And I thought of an example at work one day. We had this officer who used to work there. His name was, we called him Big Harv. This guy, he was a big black guy. He had no neck. He had the head about that big. And his name was Big Harv. He's about 6'3", and he was just square. I mean, just square. And he'd walk around like this, you know. And one day, he took a guy to his hearing. He'd gotten in trouble, so he took him to the hearing to go to the hearing officer and see what his sentence was going to be. And he got sentenced. And all the way back, they got Big Harv is escorting this guy back. This guy's about the size of one of Harv's legs, you know. But he's got a mouth bigger, you know, twice as big as his body. And Harvey's just kind of leading him along, and the guy's going, man, I got, you know, that wasn't right. That wasn't just, I shouldn't have got that much time. And on, he's just on and on and on. And like, you know, and Harvey just is walking along, and all of a sudden he stopped like this and stopped him, and he goes, man, shut your mouth. And the guy just went, you know, like, that's it. That was all. It's all the guy needed to hear, and he knew what was right. He knew what he needed to do. So just the words of his mouth had enough great effect on this little squirrely guy, you know. Shut your mouth. And then he got back to the thing, and he let him in, and the guy never said a word the rest of the night. But just our words. But you think about it now, as Christians, and the way the world's going right now, the effect that we have on the people we work with or that we run across on a daily basis. What do they, when they hear us talk, do they say, oh, he's just one of those Christians? Or do they look at it and say, ah, this guy says he's a Christian? And it makes them think. Or do they just kind of go, eh? But I got a lot of scripture, so I'm going to get going here. You know, and you think about it, I thought about a judge too. You know, can you imagine being on the other end of him just going, guilty? You know, just like, wow. Part of my life is just going to go away. It's going to be dead right now because of what he said. Guilty. You know, not like today where, oh, you killed somebody? Okay, we'll give you 8 years in a posh prison. You get a college degree and you come out, you'll be doing good. You'll have some money in the bank. And that guy's dead, but you're going to have a good life when you get out of here. Not like today. I'm talking about death. You should be dead. You're done. Your life is over. Guilty. You imagine standing before God one day. What did you do with my son? And he said, well, I was good. I know who your son is. I heard about him one time. Guilty. death. I don't even know who you are. Depart from me. I don't even want to talk to you. Get out of my face. What a day. What a day. Praise the Lord, you're saved. If you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved. Because you're going to stand before an almighty God one day, and you're going to have to answer for what you did with Jesus Christ, whether you accepted him or rejected him. So let's look at you turn over just a couple more verses there in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, verse 3. I'll just read them when I get there. It says, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." We have guys at work that talk constantly while I'm talking. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. And it's just a matter of time before they put their foot in their mouth. And what they said would just doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. So it's best just to sit back and think about things. Matthew 12, verse 37, Christ says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Powerful, powerful stuff. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 real quick, then we'll get started. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We think about these things, and basically I titled this, "Think Before You Speak." We've heard that phrase many, many times, but it's true. It is very true. We have an effect on more people than we realize with what we say. And not so much what we do, but what we say. And are we living up to what we say? Are we walking the talk, so to speak? But here's the answer. This is a verse I'm going to be repeating throughout the service tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now you're saying, where are you going with that? Here's what I think about when I read that verse. Before I talk, before I answer a question, before I say anything of any importance at all, I think about it. I bring it back. Right away, usually we'll have an answer at the top of our head. Boom, we got an answer. But that may not be what they need to hear. Like Brother Mark mentioned this morning, sometimes we're sitting there thinking about what we're going to say while the person is still talking to you. And that's wrong. We need to listen. That's a lost art in this world today, listening. Listening to what people are saying before we give an answer. And so many times while they're talking, everybody's guilty of it. You're formulating an answer in your mind, and by the time they're done speaking, you give their answer out, it's not even close to what they were talking about. But if we stop for a minute and listen to what they're saying and bring into captivity all those thoughts we had of what we were going to say, and bring them in line with what Christ would say, and then say it. What does the Word of God say? What would Christ say at a time like this? Or maybe he would just have you keep your mouth shut. You know, so many times, I remember my brother, I've mentioned this before, but my brother, his first wife, they had their second child, and the baby was 6 days old, and his wife went in to take a nap with the baby and never woke up. She was 28 years old. And they never found anything wrong. They did an autopsy, never found anything wrong. And after it was all over, you know, and this, don't get me wrong, but many people, you know, hundreds of people coming in, "Brad, we're praying for you. If there's anything I can do for you, let me know." You know, and you hear that a lot, and people are probably very sincere when they say it. I asked my brother, I said, "What is it you wanted to hear at that time?" And this may offend some of you, but it wasn't. This is what he wanted at that time. And he said, "I was kind of hoping somebody would come in and say, 'Hey, let's go cast a few. Let's go down to the river. Get your rod and reel, get your tackle, let's go cast a few. Just get your mind off everything that's going on right now.'" That's what he wanted to hear. Just think, you know, we're all sincere. Some people came in to visit my dad down there in in Milwaukee at the hospital. And they're good people. They're from a church that of a pastor. My dad used to attend their church. And they said, you know, your wife, you know, and he said, yeah, my wife died 3 months ago. And they're saying, oh, well, she's in heaven now. And, you know, it's just, and I'm sitting there going, yeah, that's, he doesn't really, you know, that's, we know that. You know, and I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. They're nice people. They never met us before. But, you know, I'm thinking, is that really what Dad wanted to hear right now? You know, I don't know. Because I know he thinks about it all the time. They were together for 60 years. But, you know, to think about and pray about the words we say to help people out. Maybe I'm way off in that, but let's go. The first thing I thought about, that death and life and the power of the tongue, I thought about my testimony. What is affected by the words that I say? And the first thing that came to my mind was my testimony. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 11. What's the biggest excuse you hear from people about not going to church? Okay. Good answer. No, but I was talking to somebody that attends church here about why they're, you know, talking about a relative of theirs, and the biggest excuse, you'll hear it a lot of times, there's hypocrites there. Hypocrisy. You know, but they'll go to work, you know, where there's hypocrites, and they'll go to the state fair where there's hypocrites, and they'll go to the Mall of America where there's hypocrites, you know, it is, but not church. They should be different at church. You know, but what about me? Look at verse 9 in chapter 11 there says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Think about that phrase. Every week, every Wednesday, people see you get calling out of your house, getting into your car, on your way to church. You got your Bible in your hand and you're ready to go. But what do they see away from that? What are you doing in the yard the rest of the week? What kind of music's barreling out of your windows during the week? Are you disturbing the peace? Are you keeping a nice yard? They're looking at these things. What are you saying over the fence to your neighbors? You know, you complaining about the politicians, you complain about the blankety blank car, and what, you know, but you're on your way to church. You know, what do they hear from you on a regular basis? When they talk to you, do they hear the cuss words, the latest gossip, the Hollywood gossip, the latest song on the radio? What do they hear from you? Your testimony is at stake by what you say. What comes out of your mouth? Turn to Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew 23. I mean, you're all familiar with these, but people are looking for an excuse not to come to church. They're looking for an excuse not to believe what you have to believe, what you have to say. You handed them a tract, and then you live just like they do. You need this in your life, but then you just, you know, live it. Like, they have a higher standard for you than you do. You know, what are you saying? What's coming out of your mouth? Look at what Christ had to say in chapter 6 of Matthew. Verse 2, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. You know, Christ didn't care for hypocrites too much. He didn't. You go over to 23. He really does. He really has nothing good to say about hypocrites. Verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. 15, this verse is, to me, is just something else. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Man, live it. What are you saying? Are you backing it up? What you have to offer these people, is something different what they hear? Or is the church full of hypocrites? Are you giving them a reason not to come to church by what we say? How am I living? What am I doing? Am I, you know, do they see me underneath trying to fix my truck again over and over again? And do they see tools flying out from underneath it? You know? You know, just hitting the fence, and hopefully you don't hit their house, and you know, just you hit your knuckle on, you know how it is. Man, I'm living. Or you're like my dad, he'd get done, he hit his knuckle, and he'd get done, his hands all bloody. Oh, what happened there? The big gash, you know, and he didn't even feel it. But what are people seeing at work? Oh, I heard he's a Christian. Oh, really? All right. Let's hear how he talks. I'm going to listen to what he says. What's he like when you're? What do you? Well, you know, I heard a pastor say once, "You're only good as Christian as you are at home." That's interesting. That's interesting. Is it totally different when you're at church? Are you putting on the dog? You putting on the front? Everybody thinks, oh, he's such a great Christian. Look at the size of his Bible, you know? What are you saying? What are you saying? Is it affecting your testimony? Are you bringing everything in before you mention things? And when people, do people come to you at work and say, hey, can I ask you something? Would you pray for something for me? Or do they just kind of say, pfft. You know, what else does it? In 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, but I keep my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's a good message, but it's coming from you, and I don't want anything to do about it. I don't even want to hear it. When you preach to others, they say, oh, it's you. Forget it. I got a guy at work now. He's always come and talk to me about spiritual things. And he goes to that great fundamentalist church, Eagle Brook. And so he gets divorced, and he gets married again. And invites all these people to come over for a housewarming party and beer and food provided. Amen. What a blessing. You know, you just want to grab those guys by the throat and you say, would you just shut your yap? Don't say anything about being a Christian. Please shut up. Please. You're ruining it for everybody else who's at least trying to live right and trying to do right and trying to be a witness to people. Please shut up. I called an inmate up to my desk once because he's talking to me about being a Christian and all this, and then he goes back and he's just cussing up a storm and using the Lord's name in vain. It's just like I call him up to the desk, and then he comes up to the desk again and talks about the Bible. I said, listen, just shut up about the Bible, shut up about Christ, because your mouth is just pathetic. I said, you just need to shut up, because you're giving Christ a bad name. I've been here for 20 years. You're giving me a bad name. And they're taking, if you're saying you're a Christian and I'm saying I'm a Christian, they're going to bundle me in with you, and I don't want anything to do with what you got, because you don't have what I got. I have a living Savior. You have a living flesh. I battle with that every day too, but at least I have a Savior I can go to about it. You don't. And he just kind of walked away. And, you know, I can't, but what do we say? I can't sit here and fire shots at everybody else. I got to take that situation and I got to turn it back on me and say, what about me? How's my work? Is it living up to what I say? So, you know, in James 1:26 it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It's empty. It's worthless. Seemeth to be religious. Well, I go to church. So what? So what? Is your walk the same as your talk? What are you saying? And people are listening to what you're saying. But on the other hand, the Proverbs 10:20, it says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The tongue of the just. How many of your bosses ask you, you know, are you doing right? You're doing right. And you give them an honest answer every time. They can count on you to be honest and truthful with them. They can count on you to be there on time, doing your job, and they don't have to supervise you. They can just depend on you being there and doing what you're supposed to do. And the tongue is just as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Little worth. So that's only the first point, and we're already halfway through. I need to get going. But how is your testimony affected by what you say? It is. It's greatly affected. But the answer is bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Make sure that what you say is not going to affect your testimony and that you're going to back it up. The second thing I thought about, and this one's near and dear to my heart, but especially now, and it's raising children, raising kids. What are you saying to your kids, and are you living it? Are you backing it up? When Jake was little, you know, I don't know if you, I have a problem sometimes of yelling at people as they drive because I'm the best driver on the road. And yeah, right? You know, you are too. You know, and so you drive down the road and somebody cuts you off or you do something stupid. Oh, yeah, moron. What are you doing that for? You? That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You know, well, when I did it last week, it was right. But you did it up. What in the world? But then Jake, you know, he's getting to be about 3 or 4, and Heather, you know, I'm getting mad at some traffic, and Heather kind of goes, hey, you might want to keep it down. So we're driving down the road, and Jake's in his car seat in the back, and we're going down the road, and all of a sudden this guy cuts in front of me, and I'm like, and all of a sudden from the back seat, you moron! So what are they hearing out of your mouth? Raising kids, you know, it can be a joy, but it can be very convicting. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 12, and if I get there, I'm just going to read because I need to hurry up here a little bit. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You know, how many times have we said a little white lie to our kids? Are we telling them the truth when we talk to them? When they get older, are they going to be able to turn back at us and say, you lied to me? Now, if you have a problem with Christmas right now, you need to plug your ears. But how many of you told your kids about Santa Claus, and then you got older and they turned back on you and say, he's a lie. How come you lied to me? He's not true. And are they going to trust you? He said, now get this. You may not buy this, but a pastor was telling a story. He was on a college campus witnessing, and he had three guys there witnessing to him. And he said, one guy said, stop what you're saying right now. He goes, my whole life, my parents told me about a mythological creature named Santa Claus. And when I got older, he believed it. He bought into it. He believed it. He said, I found out that it was all a lie. And you're telling me about somebody who has all these powers and can do all these things who I've never seen, and they say he exists and can save my soul. As far as I know, that's a lie too. So just get away from me with that junk. Some people say, well, you're just talking about Santa. That's a joke. It isn't a joke. It's a lie. It's a lie. What else are we telling our kids? It's not true that they can come back at us one day and fire both guns at us, and all we can do is hang our heads. I dread the day that would happen to me. I hope it never does. I hope it never does. Chapter 15 of Proverbs, a couple pages over. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Oh, look at those, you know. Hey, Mom, how come we don't go out street preaching in our church? They're just a little fanatical. They're a little crazy. You don't really have to do that. If you just live right, they'll come up to you and ask you about Christ. Yeah, how many times has that happened? wow, you just walk so right and your clothes are always pressed and you must be a Christian. What must I do to be saved? Really? Come on. Give me a break. You know, so it's using knowledge aright. You're not using them to brainwash where you're heartwashing these kids. You want to tell them the truth. Why not tell them the truth for a change? Tell them evolution is false and that creation is right. Tell them that Muhammad is a liar and a fake and he's dead in the grave and so is Buddha. And Christ is not in the grave. He rose from the dead and he lives forever. Well, I don't believe that. Well, prove me wrong. Go look at Muhammad's grave and Buddha's grave and then go look at Christ's grave. Tell me what you find. Oh, they stole his body. Prove it. Prove it. Obviously, nobody cared about Muhammad's body to go and steal it. Man, I'm living. I won't go in there. Anyways, Proverbs, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Not yell at, not lie to, not beat up, not spank up, train up. Train up a child. What's he hearing out of your mouth? Is he getting the truth from you? Are you telling him what he needs to do? Are you going to have a citizen on your hands one day that you're ashamed of? Are you going to hang your head? You know, granted, some people, I got to tell you this. You know, when kids get out of the house, they make their own choices. And when me and my brother left home, we went and did some things for a few years that made my mom and dad ashamed. All right? They didn't know all that was going on. And for years and years after I got saved, my dad was saying, he'd always say to us, you know, me and my mom, we really let you guys down. We really didn't train you. We didn't do what we're supposed to do. We didn't, you know, we really feel bad about that. And one day we're out fishing, and me and my dad were, and he brought it up again. And I said, Dad, just hold on a second. I said, number one, we were old enough to make our own choices. And we didn't buy in to the church thing and to the God thing and the Jesus thing at the time. We made our own choices. We went and did what we wanted to do. I said, second of all, if you hadn't raised us right and taught us right, we wouldn't have known where to go when we got to the end of our rope. I said, it's not your fault. We made all those choices on our own, and it's not your fault. And he's never brought it up anymore. Praise the Lord. I hope that was a burden off his shoulders because it wasn't his fault. No parent is perfect. Well, maybe some of you are, but I make mistakes all the time. But we got to do what's right. What comes out of our mouth? Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently under the children, talking about the word of God, and shalt talk about them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between thine eyes. How many of us talk about the word of God all the time? I don't. And I should. I need to. Because that's the truth we have in this world. There is no other truth. It's the only thing we got. It's the only thing that's going to stand in the end. When it's all said and done, we're all going to stand before a God and be judged out of this book. These are the words that are going to judge us in the end. It says that in John chapter 14. We need to be watching. What do we say? What do we talk about with our kids? Is it truthful? Is it something that's going to lead them astray? What's that one sentence that's going to make your son or your daughter go that way instead of the right way? What is it? What is it? what is it you're saying that could lead them astray? We need to be careful what comes out of our mouth. It affects our raising of our kids. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. A lot of people take that and say, well, if you get up and early and have your devotions, which is fine, that's great. But seek in an early, how about a young, early age? Are we teaching our kids at an early age of saying, oh, you got a problem? Did you pray about it? Did you talk to God about it? God's got all the answers. God's got everything. He owns everything. Have you talked to him about it? He loves him. And he says, and those that seek me early shall find me. And you hear a child pray, and it's so innocent and so right. And God's just up there saying, oh. I don't know. God's not like that. But anyways, he's just like, yeah, I'll give it to you. What a chance for him to lead a child in the right direction. Are we saying and doing our part? Raising our kids. What comes out of our mouth? Are we bringing into captivity every thought under the obedience of Christ? Everything we say to our kid, do we think about it first? Especially serious decisions. I just pray that when they're older, that my kids are willing to come to me and ask me questions. I hope they haven't turned me off. I hope that what I've told them in the past isn't cast away. Doesn't make them say, oh, he doesn't know anything. He lied to us. He told us about this, and that didn't. Well, that wasn't true. That was a lie. I hope that's never true. The third thing that comes to my mind is someone's spiritual growth. And I'll speed up here. Turn over to Romans chapter 14. I already said that once, didn't I? Romans chapter 14. So it affects our testimony, affects my raising of my kids. Romans 14, 13 says, let not us therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know, everybody in here is at a different stage in their Christian life. Some of you have been saved a lot longer than I have. Some have not. Some of you have a lot more knowledge about the Bible and things than I do. But we need to be careful not to throw a stumbling block or look down on somebody or say something that's going to cause a younger brother or a weaker brother to fall. We need to work together, especially nowadays. I mentioned earlier about praying for one another. What about saying encouraging words to one another? How about calling up a brother during the week and saying, hey, or a sister and saying, I'm praying for you. What do you need? What do you got as prayer requests? What's heavy on your heart right now? Hey, I'm praying for you as you witness to your relative. Hey, I'm praying for you when you go street preaching on Friday. I hope you're bold. I'm praying for your boldness. And I'm praying that you give out tracts and you won't be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. And we got to be careful not to, we went to a church once where somebody we had witnessed to, and somebody in the church newly saved. It was like, praise God, somebody got saved. You know, I haven't seen it in a while. And right after church, somebody goes up to him with a booklet that says, here's how a woman's supposed to dress. Come on. Who made you the Holy Spirit? Unbelievable. Really? Why don't you let them make the decision and let it be real? Instead of turning them off right away. Oh, you need to dress like this, and you need to wear these shoes on this day, and do your hair like this, not like that. You cover up those tattoos, and don't wear the loop earrings, and we'll see you on Sunday, and we'll grade you. Really. I love it. Pat, when we first started coming here, Pastor Stevens got up. He says, all I can do is preach the truth from the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Then it's real. Don't sit there and put all these rules and regulations in front of people and just say, forget this. I don't want anything to do with this. Next thing you know, you find them or you see them on the street and they're going to Eagle Brook. Because they like the way they dress right now. They like the earrings and the tattoos over there and the smoking and the drinking. They love all that stuff. This morning on the way home from church, there's a car next to us. The guy's sitting there, he's got his music blaring, he's got his cigarette hanging out the window, and he's got his Eagle Brook sticker on there. Praise God! Praise their God. It's a different God than I got. But if somebody like that came in here and heard the truth from the Word of God, and we went right up to him, did you hear that? Did you hear what he said? You need to change. You need to change your ways. You need to live different. You're not like us. Or we could sit here and say, hey, you're welcome here. And they're sitting there like, what is that strange feeling in my chest? You know, somebody's telling me to change something in my life. Something different here. It's kind of spooky but in a way, but it's different. It's something I've never felt before. Praise the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. We can't put stumbling blocks. We can't put rules out there and say, you got to be like this and this and this and this. That's what I've seen for years in churches that I went to. And I was a robot. I was a robot. I had my hair cut the right way. And I wore my shirt just right. And I wore the uniforms and the shirts and the shoes and the socks. And, you know, they couldn't see the holes in my socks. But, you know, I wore the uniform. And I wore the uniform and I had the outward appearance just like those Pharisees and hypocrites who had the whited sepulcher on the air, the whited outside, but the inside was I wasn't even saved. And I'm going to a Christian school and I'm going to a Christian college, and I wasn't even saved. But they thought I was because I went by the rules. There was no Holy Spirit within a 1,000 miles of that place. But everybody looked right. That's a stumbling block. Let the Holy Spirit do his job. When you're out witnessing to somebody, oh, just pray this prayer and you'll be good to go. Instead of witnessing and saying, you're a lost sinner. You're going to die and split hell wide open. But Christ came and died for you. And all that time, the Holy Spirit's saying, you hear that? You hear that? You hear that? And they have to make the decision. That's their choice. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not whosoever shall recite a prayer. They call upon the name of the Lord because they're at their wits' end and they have nowhere else to turn, and this is the truth. I'm coming to you with my heart. All right. That was a long trail. Sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Kind of the same idea. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Just talked about all that. Don't think, I'm under grace. So what? Why don't you praise the Lord for it instead of living like a total rebel? Don't turn it into lasciviousness. Every day we should thank God he's got us down here for another day to be a witness for him and praise his name. I got a bunch of scripture. I'm just going to read it real quick. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. You're just fine. You just got to think better of yourself. Liar! You're sending people to hell. Hey, Joel, you're sending people to hell with your good news stuff. Oh, you're just fine. Just got to think better of yourself. You know, what a joke. You're ruining, you're destroying people. Death and life are within what you're telling them. And you got an old basketball arena full of people and you're lying to them. You're feeding them a lie. Why don't you tell them what Christ did for them? No, no, he likes the money too much. He's got a lot of money flowing in. He's selling a lot of books. So are a lot of other preachers on TV. They're afraid to tell the truth now because it's going to affect their bank account. What's coming out of their mouth is death and life to whoever they're talking to. It's death or life. That's everything we're here for. Life and death. Unbelievable. Romans 3, starting in verse 10.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Be careful, not only what you say, is it line up with Scripture, and be careful who you listen to. Are they selling you a bill of goods? Or is what they're saying right by what the Bible says? Is what who you're, well, he's my favorite preacher. My dad used to just love Jimmy Swaggart. He did. He liked his preaching because there was nothing up in northern Minnesota. You know, you go listen to some guy behind the pulpit, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, man, living. Who are you serving? Brother. But their mouth is full of deceit and poison. It may sound good. You know, I don't understand these people, these snake people that love snakes. I can't stand snakes. I can't stand spiders. But you see these people, these big boa constrictors crawling all over them and stuff. And it's like you walk up to them and say, you're really stupid. You're really dumb. You know that? That thing can just all of a sudden circle around you and squeeze you. And people are going to sit there thinking you're putting on an act. And all of a sudden you're going to keel over dead. There's poison in there. It's their nature. They want to squeeze you to death and eat you. They'd look at me and say, man, I'm good for life. I eat that thing. I'm good. Look at all that I can chew on for the rest of my life. Unbelievable. Poison of ass is under their lips. Be careful who you hear, who you listen to and what you say. It affects someone's spiritual growth. Hey, you should hear this preacher preach. Really? Who are you recommending? Who you got? Who's your favorite preacher? You know, a lot of people I've talked to in here, you got solid people you listen to in the preaching and that you listen to outside the church. But we got to be careful. Got to be careful. What are they saying? And what are we saying? Is it going to affect someone's spiritual growth? 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 15. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verbal things. Things that are said with the mouth. We got to be careful that we're not judging somebody by going up to them and saying, oh, you're not wearing the right thing. You don't have the right haircut. Where'd you go? Did you go to Great Clips and ask him for a man's haircut? You know, just, you got to be careful. You got, these people are babes in Christ. Some of them need guidance. Some of them need an encouraging word. Not a stab in the back. Not a big stumbling block. Don't make Christianity a burden to these people. It's not. There's more freedom in Christianity than anything else. But let's correct. Hey, you know, you shouldn't really do that in church. You know, I'm just telling you. I'm not saying that. I messed up at that too, and somebody told me to. And just, you know, you probably should just tone it down a little bit. You know, but try to say it in a way and bring, here we go again, bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. And what is what I'm going to say going to cause this guy to fall? Is it going to cause him to leave the church? Maybe seek good godly counsel about what you're going to say. or what you're going to do? Correction, instruction in righteousness. In righteousness, like Brother Mark was talking about. Instruction in righteousness. You're trying to help them to be a better Christian. And how to grow in the Lord. Not to be more like the mold. All right. I hasten. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, I'm way over. I'm sorry. Actually, I'll just read this. I already read that one, so we're going to go on to the next one. So we got the words from our mouth, death and life in the power of the tongue, and it affects our testimony. The words out of our mouth affect raising children, someone's spiritual growth, and last, eternal life. The first three, my testimony, well, not necessarily the first three, but the first two, my testimony can affect whether someone spends eternity in heaven, eternal life, or in hell, eternal death. What I say to my testimony at work, in the community, in public, my raising of children, what comes out of my mouth to my kids and your kids can affect whether they spend eternity in heaven, eternal life, or eternity in hell, eternal death. The words out of my mouth. Those things. Acts 26:28. Turn over to Acts 26. Verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The words of his mouth, the power of his tongue, chose death. Isn't that something? Almost, but not quite. His tongue chose death. Somebody comes up, you knock on a door, say, no, I'm good. What do you mean good? Well, I'm a good person. Never mind, slam. The power of their tongue chose death. You one day, when you got saved, last Monday was I'd been saved for 23 years. Praise the Lord. 23 years. The Lord gave me so many chances, and finally I gave in. I'd seen what the world had to offer, and it was nothing there. Nothing there. Even though Solomon already did it and told me, there's nothing there, it's vain, it's vanity. Well, he's just Solomon, he's just the wisest man in the world. I'm sure I could find something. No, 29 years old, how many years of wasted life, and then I got saved. Praise the Lord, he gave me another chance, and another chance, and another chance, and another chance. You may not have that chance. You may not have it. You may die tomorrow. You may die tonight. What have you done if you accepted Christ? Agrippa chose death with his tongue. With his tongue. Romans 10:9-10 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Life, eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a choice. With your tongue. The power of your tongue. Yes or no? Life or death? It's up to you. And we go out every day when we go out and hand out tracts and knock on doors and preach to people going to the games. And preach to people on Nicollet and at the U and down here at Riverdale. And we give them a choice. Life or death. It's in the power of their tongue. So the death and life are in the power of the tongue. What a powerful phrase. It affects our testimony, the raising of our kids, someone's spiritual growth, and someone's and our eternal life. And so much more. I mean, this is just endless. I mean, you could study the tongue in the Bible and go on forever and have sermon upon sermon upon sermon. But we need to realize we need to bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. We need to watch what we say. Someone's Christian life may depend upon it. Someone's eternity may depend upon it. Their death and their life. So let's just keep an eye on what we say. Keep our tongue under wraps. And think about what we say before we say it. All right? Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for the Word of God. And I just thank you for the power that's in it. And Lord, help us to try our best to live it over and over again. Each and every day, let's help us to think about what we say and what we do, because lives are at stake. Not just our own, but other people around us, about how what we say, what we do, how we act. And Lord, help us to just do everything that's pleasing in your sight. Thank you for the Word of God, and Lord, I pray now as we sing and go our ways that we just be more mindful of what we do on a regular basis. In your name, amen. All right, let's turn to 390.